All right. Are there any other announcements? Anything that I have overlooked? That happens quite often for me anymore. All right. Well, thank the Lord for Mitch and Janine as they shared opening of Advent. And thinking about this message today, it's titled The Heavenly Hope. And when this week started, or actually it was last Saturday, I was watching the global lead that Eric and Mitch are going to be going to Nepal. And Eric's a part of Global Lead. And so I was watching this live celebration or conference that they were having. And I was interested in what their theme is, and it's on ministering and mentoring and multiplying, which goes right in with what we're doing on Wednesday nights with the huddle, as we move out of the huddle and share the word of God with others. And so this passage on that I've chosen here for today is from Romans 5, as Judea was reading it. And I just want to share what I have down is 8 benefits of our salvation and the hope that we have in Christ, and that we can look at the empty cross, and we can remember from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, there where it speaks of Christ dying for us, and he was buried and he was resurrected according to Scripture. And 2 weeks ago when I was standing here, I finished a message from Matthew, and how do we move forward? How do we move out? How do we just carry on day to day? I know at our house that they were just scurrying around preparing food, and it was one way it was wonderful to watch. On the other hand, you kind of wonder how they're going to get all this done. But the Lord speaks to each one of us every day that we will listen, and he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Ask." And sometimes when we think of that, what we ask, and I don't know how you are, I believe I have a little bit of an idea, but when I ask many times, I expect an answer right now. Oh, come on, hurry up. And if you don't do that, then if you have children, when they ask and they ask and they ask and they ask, you kind of get the idea, well, why are you asking so often? But that's what the Lord has asked you and I to do, to ask him to give us what we need to carry out his mission, for it is what he's done. That's why the cross is empty. And so along with asking, there's the seeking, and you will find. Now, it doesn't say you're going to find it today or tomorrow, but as we work out our salvation and move toward the cross, if you haven't, I've mentioned this before, if you haven't read The Pilgrim's Progress, I would suggest you do that. For a long time, he was carrying around this baggage. Now, maybe some of you are carrying some baggage, carrying around guilt or shame or something that happened. And I knew a little bit about that, but there's a time when that backpack or that bag full of whatever it is dropped off. And we can walk in his precious spirit. And so as we ask and seek and then knock, it will be open to you. 4 years ago, that was our theme in Revelations. There's a door. There's an open door that's in Christ. He opened that door. And no one can close it when we're following him. And so moving on into the message today, and the first benefit that I want to bring out, and I want to encourage you to be a part of one of the circle groups today, because I believe that when we take a piece of scripture like this, a passage, and we sit down and we actually read through it and meditate upon it and share each other's experience or testimony, there's some things that happen to us that can only happen that way. this message, you're going to listen to me for a few minutes here, but when we get to sit down and we actually reason together, we have questions, and we draw together as a body. We draw together by sharing. And so that's one of the benefits, is the peace that comes from that. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace. Now, there's days when it doesn't seem so peaceful. But then there's that moment when you can set aside. I know one morning I was going for a walk around the neighborhood. And it was chilly. And I started thinking about the discomfort, and the wind was blowing a little more than I had anticipated. And so, you know, you get a little uncomfortable. So I was trying to think of a way to maybe shorten that walk. And then all of a sudden I looked up to one of my neighbors that I had been talking to, and I just prayed for him and his wife. I thought, well, why not pray for the next one too? And Fred, next thing you know, I went through the whole neighborhood. I thought, well, I think I'll walk through here a second time. And you know, when I walked in the house and sat down into my bushes, there was a presence, there was a peace that wasn't there when I left for the walk. And I don't know how that would work out for you, but again, it's part of that asking, Lord, help them, whatever their needs are. Give them that peace that passes understanding. And so our Lord moves on in this passage from John. He speaks, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I remember a long time ago, one time I was with my brother-in-law, and I was grumbling about something. I can't remember exactly what it was. And I said, well, when things get back to normal. And he looked at me and said, Jerry, this is normal. What you're talking about is not normal. And so as we think of the peace that only God can give, we can remember what our Savior has said to us. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Come. He spoke to his disciples when he first started his ministry. He says, come, follow me. Come. And I believe that when we sit down and speak to each other through the Scripture and we reason with the Scriptures, and the conclusion that we can come to through the leading of the Holy Spirit is something that draws us together as a body. It also gives us something in terms of encouragement. And then when we have a testimony together, when we go out into our community, what I've discovered is I can talk to one person, they go and talk to another person, and that's where we come back to what Global Lead was saying, that we minister, we mentor, and then we multiply. And that's the question that I asked the Lord the other day. Lord, how can I minister more, to multiply, to mentor? And that there, I could go around this congregation, since I've been a part of this group for the last 6 years, how many of you men and women have encouraged and helped me grow closer to the Lord? And prayerfully, some of the things that I've said or contributed helps you to draw closer to the Lord, because then together we're closer. It's a relationship. And as we reach out together, and as our families came together, it's some we haven't seen for a while, it's encouraging to be together and to share memories. And so this is the way we can come together and rejoice in the peace of the Lord. In verse 2, it says, through him we have also obtained access. That is something that we need to grasp a hold of in our minds as we pray. Lord, allow me to become closer to you. Help me to help my brothers and sisters in Christ come closer to you. Because the work of the cross is done. It's finished. And so there's that access. Through him, we have obtained access by faith in his grace, this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope. It's because of what he did that we have hope. Today, as children of God, we have access to a Heavenly Father who will listen to us here and who does answer our prayers. He will answer according, though, to his wisdom and in his time, and not according to our will. You will notice that we have access by faith into his grace wherein we stand. We have access to him. But we have to actively pursue him. And so then we move into the third, which is the title of the message, hope. Now, Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning, I was hoping a certain team would win. By the halftime, I was pretty sure that they would pull that one out. But by the end of the game, that kind of hope, well, it was what it was. And hope none of you are grieving too much. The Lord is still alive and well, and he will get you through this. So we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Paul said to a young preacher by the name of Titus, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must realize that within ourselves, no matter what's going on around us, our hope is in him. No matter how hopeless a certain situation is or seems, we have hope in him. And I've walked far enough down this path of life to know he is there. And he's always been there. And he's always lifted me up. And he will lift you up. But as we walk on this path, I would pray that we would embrace each other and walk together. When Linda and I got married, right above our bed, we have the cord of three strands. There's two of us and one more. Who is that? Jesus. Jesus is there. He's in our home. We even have a scripture I put up on the wall. Be still. So far, I'm still trying to get Linda to cooperate with me on that one. But you all know what I mean. Be still and hear the Lord. And I guarantee you, together we do that, don't we? Sure. So rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. But when we look at the world today, we watch the news. We're all looking for a hope for the future. There's many different ideas floating around out there. But if you are dealing with very many people, you realize there's a lot of restlessness around us. There's a lot of things going on throughout the world, and I think it explains a great many of the movements of the present moment. There's different movements. There's so many movements out there, I couldn't even begin to tell you. We could probably share right around this room, and one I just happened to hear recently, woke. And some, I don't even really know. I know a little bit about what I hear, but that's just my one of those things that, of many that are out there trying to solve different problems. But what we discover is that in the movements of the present moment, that these things are driven by a great many folks, and within ourselves we feel that we have the solution to these problems, but what we find is that there are many who have turned to alcohol, to drugs, to different these organizations. There's something that we can do within ourselves to change all the problems in the world. And you kind of have to step back and ask yourself the question, why do we put our hope in, for example, if it's a ball game, we hope they win. I mean, I don't believe that's life-threatening if they don't, but the other part of that is that for the hope of God to fill our lives, we must be stepped back a little bit from these things and see where folks are coming from. Listen. And that's where, again, coming together in our circle groups and dealing with the truth of God's Word, we can know where our hope is. And not only that, but we can share that hope with others who seem to be hopeless. And that's part of our witness. But many have lost hope for the future. If we could just get our climate under control, or if we just drive the right kind of electric cars, or if we just do this. And I'm not here to yay or nay any of those things. What I'm here to share with you is the hope that we have in God. And so as children, as well as a child of God, we have hope. We have a blessed hope. And I could refer you, there's many scriptures. When I was going through this message, we could be here the rest of the day because God is so faithful and He has so much for us. But there's that blessed hope, and it speaks to us in Romans 38, 39 there, where all things work together. Well, that together, when we come together like we are today, when we have the wonderful music that we have, and the technology that we have available to us, and we have those in our midst who are going to be leaving for Nepal, we're part of something that's so much bigger than we are that it's hard to fathom. But most important, I believe it's good for us all to remember that our hope is in Christ. It's in Christ Jesus. It's what took place on the cross. And this is what's interesting, as I've covered just a few of these benefits. It tells you and I to rejoice in suffering. Now, that's not something that I've found too many folks like to, they like to talk about that sometimes. And, well, how do you rejoice in suffering? Do we rejoice because we suffer? I don't. Pardon? For the benefit that comes from that. When I rejoice, no matter how I'm feeling, no matter how you're feeling, Christ is there. And there is an idea that, well, if Christ is here, then why doesn't He make me feel good? Well, all of that is okay if you want to spend a lot of time there. But what I've found is when I'm really down, I rejoice in His presence. Because He speaks to that here in a moment. But one of the interesting things that I found in this is how the Word of God says not only that we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces, you see, when God is actively involved in it, there's a purpose for everything. And so when we suffer and we endure, and then endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Hope. And I've lived long enough now to know, and I remember when I said to God, I've messed up so bad now not even you can fix it. But oh, praise God, I was wrong. I was so wrong. And I thank God that I was wrong. If you ever want to meet somebody who was glad and happy and rejoicing because they were wrong, you're looking at him. And what I find interesting is we sit down to meditate or go over God's Word together. You, every one of you, have a testimony to that. A situation you were in at one time or another, and you just thought, how am I going to get through this? I can't do this. Anyone ever? Come on. Anyone ever had that? Yeah. So we're not alone. But when we share together, there's a benefit. And it's interesting to me that the words joy, hope, and patience go along with them trials and tribulations. You can't have one without the other. And then there's that love of God. The hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts. Who did that? God. How did he do that? He loved us so much that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Gave him. And because of that empty cross, we know it is finished. Our redemption is complete. We shared in the table today to remember what he did. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. The love of God. The hope that does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God loves us. And along with that, it's the Holy Spirit. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and within you, whom you have from God, you are not your own? Paul speaks to that in Corinthians. Today we need to be conscious of the fact. We need to be conscious of the fact that God loves us. I have a little thing I've been putting right on my desk when I do my devotions in the morning. Live intentionally. Don't get in cruise. I have a car that I put on cruise. That's a good thing, most of the time. But sometimes if you're on a long trip, you can get to relax. You kind of forget what's going on around you. And I don't know if any of you ever remember the cars that had shift gears on. You had to shift the gears and push the clutch in and do things. You actually had to drive them. They didn't even have power steering. I had one that didn't even have power steering. Have anyone here ever driven a car without power steering? Sure. I was part of a volunteer fire department one time. We had a big ladder truck. We had to drive that thing. It didn't even have a synchronized clutch on it. My point in saying that is simply this. Sometimes we get on cruise control, we get used to our lazy boys, and we get used to driving down the road in these nice, cool cars, and we forget to live life. We get a little uncomfortable, and we spend more time looking for comfort than we do looking to share what God has given us. Just think about it. Again, that's what being in our circle groups is about. We sit down, we talk to each other. What's going on? How can we help each other? How can we glorify the Father? How? That's a question I can ask every day. How are we going to do this today, Lord? Or how are you going to do it? I'm tired this morning. Anyone ever been tired? Okay, so I'm not alone on that one either. All right, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows. Now, here again, God is showing us. It's not about me, and it's not about you, but God is showing us his love. He shows it to us. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Boy, what a day of reckoning that was when I actually realized he did what he said he did. I mean, he always had done what he said he had done, but it took a while for me to recognize what he had done. I could do lip service to it. I could give it head knowledge. But boy, when it got down into my heart, and the first time I really realized is when I started sharing that with someone else. This is real. How can you be so sure that there's a Jesus? I started stuttering. He's real. He changed my life. He'll change your life. He changes our lives. But oh, how it glorifies him when we come together and embrace together in the Holy Spirit. And it moves across us. And it moves us out together. So that is where God has revealed his love. God doesn't save us by his love. God is love, but he doesn't save us by his love. He saves us by what? Grace. Unmerited favor. The day I realized that what he had shown me in grace, he expected me to show to others that I didn't like, or somebody who said something I didn't like, or somebody that did something I didn't like. Show them grace. Pray for them. Love them. But Lord, you don't understand. You ever say that? You don't understand. You ever say that to your mate? You don't understand. Well, then let's understand together. Let us embrace what God has given us and move forward together. And then there's the deliverance from wrath or whatever's coming or whatever our imaginations can conjure up. The deliverance that says, since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For there is a judgment day. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. We were reconciled to God by death, the death of His Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. I cannot overemphasize, it's what He has done. It's about how much He loves us. And so when I've heard some of these preachers talk about you can't outgive God, they're telling the truth. They're just not telling all of it. You really want to know what it means to give, then give yourself. If you don't really understand what that means, ask God. Seek Him. Knock. What do you mean by that, Lord? And I can assure you, He will show you over time. Deliverance from wrath. And so then we find there in verse 11, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Through Him. He did it. Am I saying that too often? You can't say it too often. If you don't need to hear it, I do. Linda's dad tells jokes and he'll ask me, he'll say, have I ever told you about how many times I've heard it? I don't know. He said, well, if you don't really want to hear it, I'd like to hear it again. And he'll go on and tell it. I'm not going to tell you any of his jokes either. He'll tell me sometime, I think you could tell this one in church. They're okay. They're good jokes. It's just after you hear them so many times. But we still laugh. That's the joy of life. You see, when we're walking with our Lord and we're together, there's a light and there's a lightness and there's a rest and there's a peace. There's access. And what it means to us is that we can say, let's just praise the Lord. You've heard the song, let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. These are the wonderful benefits of salvation. Let's just praise the Lord. I also speak quite often of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, 18. Rejoice always. Be filled with the Lord's joy. That's a struggle sometimes, but be filled with His joy. Ask Him for more joy and share it. Rejoice always. Pray continually. And interestingly enough about prayer, the more I have focused on prayer, the more I've learned how to listen. I don't understand that in the beginning, but now I do. That's why I was missing so much of what He was saying in my early years. I wasn't listening. I just want to do all the talking. And then we go back to the part that's been most beneficial is where it says to give thanks in all circumstances. We were talking about suffering a little earlier. Give thanks in all circumstances, For it is His will in Christ Jesus. He's helping us grow. Another way I look at that is when my children were growing up and something happened to them, I was right there trying to help them either fix their little boo-boo when they were boo-boos, and then they grew up a little more. They didn't want to be called boo-boos anymore because they were getting older. But whatever it was that was hurting them, I wanted to be there to help them. That's how our Father in Heaven is. And when we're encouraged that way, we can just look out to our Father and we can say, thank you for the hope that we have in you, Father. I pray that my brothers and sisters in Christ have that same hope, and that together we can just worship you in the fullness of the Spirit, and that our hope will continue to grow. We can share that with our children, with our neighbors. And who knows? They may come to know the Lord. It'll be because of what He did. And there's something just saying within me right now. Somebody's got a testimony here today on hope. Whoever it is, share it, please. Give us a word of hope. Jean? Could you speak just a little louder?
Isaiah 12 touched my heart as he was talking about joy. It says, on that day you will say, I will give thanks to you, Lord. Although you are angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Indeed, God is my salvation. I will trust Him and not be afraid. For the Lord Himself is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. You will joyfully
Amen. Amen. And that is the way the Lord works in our lives. We all have something that comes to us at one time or another. If the Lord gives you a special passage of Scripture, share it with someone else. He may be giving it to you just to encourage someone. It may be something that will speak right to their heart. And that's my prayer today, is that this message speaks to your heart. It's from Him. It's what He gave me. And the joy that I have is we can now go to our circle groups and we can begin to fellowship together and talk a little more about this and to share what the Lord is doing in our lives in a little bit more of an intimate way. And I have an idea that some of you are going to talk about the joy of Thanksgiving. Perhaps there'll be something else. Maybe there's some suffering and something that you need to be prayed for. But this is what God has brought to us. And so we need to recognize that our Father is our heavenly hope. And so with that, we will have our circle groups. There'll be one group meeting back here in the back by the kitchen there. There's another group that meets over here and out in the... what is the lobby out there, and then another group meets over here, and then we have another group that meets up the stair steps at the top of the steps there in the lobby. And is that all the groups, isn't it? Okay. Yeah, down at the end of the hallway upstairs. And so I pray that we all take time to share, and I would again reinforce the mission of Global Lead that we're a part of here at Grace, and that they minister, they mentoring, and they multiply. And so with that said, I would like to give the benediction, if you would all stand. Now may the God of peace Himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord.